They hung.
Never mind.
They hung their heads in sorrow. Jesus, their Lord, had died. No reason to live tomorrow. 11 bowed down. Outside the tomb, he is risen today. Yeah, Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled the gloom when Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power. Holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. Thomas doubted her story. In grief, you imagine this thing. Till I've seen the hands that were riven touch your side, I will never believe. Then an awesome presence filled the place when Jesus appeared in the room. Thomas declared, "In my Lord and my God, you're risen today from the tomb." Oh, Jesus came out alive, and the darkness ran away. The light in the tomb dispelled. Jesus rose that day. Oh, the place where they laid him is empty. No power could keep him inside. He holds today the keys to the grave. Jesus came out alive. He holds today the keys to the grave.
This is what separates Christianity from all other religions. Our Jesus is alive. How powerful is that? I was listening to a guy who said he had scientific proof that Jesus existed, walked this earth. He doesn't need to prove it to me. I know he did. I know it's true whether they have scientific evidence or not. Is this on, Tom? Can you hear? Oh, good. I just see some people going like this. So. And he says he has proof that he has even risen. I didn't quite finish the video. I mean, do I have proof of that? That'll be pretty good, but I know it exists and it is there because Jesus rose in my heart. He changed my life, and I'm sure most of you here, if not all, can say the same thing, that Christ did a resurrection in our own hearts, which is a miracle in itself. I want Brandon to put up a scripture. It's out of Ephesians 5, verse 32, King James Version. And this is an unfinished scripture. And the reason why it is it's a mystery. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So why is it a great mystery? Because there's at coming or a return of Christ going to happen that has no date on it. The second coming of Christ has a date. You can actually pinpoint the time to the date when he's going to return, because the Bible says when the Antichrist will sign his signature on that peace treaty, that's when you start the Great Tribulation, and it's going to be 7 years to the day when God sets up his heavenly kingdom. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Don't mix it up with Matthew chapter 24 starts with the tribulation, but all of a sudden Jesus changes gear and he says, but of that day, why? All of a sudden he says, of that day and of that hour knoweth no man. See, that's the mystery I want to talk about today, but more specifically about the midnight cry and the 10 virgins. What's that story all about? I'm going to put my own take on it, and a lot of it will be my own, so don't say we're going to start again another religion about the 10 virgins. There's just the 10 virgin church, and it's going to happen this way. Anyway, before I get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings upon us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Lord Jesus, we need an outbreak of the power of the Holy Ghost here in this church. We need something to happen that will prove to people, especially the young people here, that you are real. Maybe us, the parents, did not provide enough evidence of your realness, but you can prove to them by the power of your Holy Ghost that you are a tangible presence that is not to be taken lightly. So you will prove to every heart here that you are for real. Lord, even those who are fence sitters, you will prove to them that you mean business and you are a rewarder to them that diligently seek you. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. In Matthew 25, verse 1 to 3, and I think 5 to 6, Jesus speaking, and then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. You can see they're prepared to meet Jesus. The bridegroom is Jesus here. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. I'll get into this later. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. All of them slumbered and slept. At midnight, there was a cry made. And you would think the cry was maybe it was a trumpet sound, or maybe it could have been. Whatever the cry was, there's more to this cry than this leads on, but I'll get into that too. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out to meet him. And this here is not yet the return of Jesus. This cry was not the return of Christ. So has this ever happened in the past? Have we ever had a midnight cry in the past? Let's go to Exodus 11, verse 6, King James Version. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall it be like any more. That was a specific cry, and I'll get into why this cry was made. Exodus 12, verse 7 says, and they shall take blood, and he's talking to anybody who would take this advice here. I'm leading into something. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. So wherever you're in, wherever you eat, make sure that the blood is upon your doorposts. And in verse 13 of Exodus 12, and the blood shall be for you, be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hence, that's why it's called the Passover, that the Jewish people celebrate. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Pay attention to this too. It will not touch you when I smite the land of Egypt. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in a dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle, even the animals, got hit by this. Now, this firstborn need not necessarily be just children. This was anybody who was firstborn, whether you would be 50, 60 years old, or whether you'll be a young child. Everybody was affected. Every household was affected here. And the cry was huge in Egypt. There was a midnight cry. Now I'll jump ahead again. This is I didn't give Brendan this scripture, out of Thessalonians. Something's going to happen one of these days, and it will be the dead in Christ shall rise first. And it says, we will not precede them. There is going to be something that's going to happen. It's part of the mystery. Something's going to change the landscape so drastically, just like it did Egypt. That was the last straw in Egypt. They changed their mind. They let the children of Israel go. Something's going to change the mind of people. And I'll tell you what my take on it. This isn't my take on it, what's going to happen. Every household will be affected. They will have anybody who has a loved one, a child, an aborted baby. That baby will rise, and that's not mine. That's the Bible says they will rise. If they belong to the Lord, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So there is there, and then we which are alive. So there's two things that happen. They happen both in the twinkling of an eye, but they don't happen at the same time. There is a separation. The separation is even not mine to say. I don't know how long the time will be between the dead in Christ shall rise, then we which are alive, and then we shall meet the Lord in the air. There is a separation. The scripture shows you that there is a separate events. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 40 days. I don't know that. But I can tell you this. The dead in Christ will rise first. And what will those dead do? Do you think they'll just go up? No, they will later on meet the Lord in the air with us. In the meantime, let's say, per se, you have a young child that was lost, and you're an unbeliever, and this child is buried. And all of a sudden, this child gets up and does exactly what happened when Jesus rose from the dead. They came out of their graves and appeared unto many in that holy city in Jerusalem. So now let's say, and again, this is my take on it. I cannot say for sure that's what's going to happen, but it sure feels good thinking it could happen that way. And all of a sudden, this child comes out of the grave and goes to his mother and tells him exactly what that she's been maybe mocking all her life, tells him, this is real. Mommy, I'm going to be with Jesus. The midnight cry was made. That was the first cry. The cry is now opposite. Instead of people that died, the ones that were alive were making a cry. You just don't want to be on the wrong side of this cry, midnight cry. You don't want to be the one who's crying. Like in the land of Egypt, it was the people who lost their loved ones. But this time it will be, oh, why didn't we listen? Cry. There was going to be a cry. There's going to be a lot of cries, but this is going to be part of that cry. Why didn't we listen to what they were saying? Now, all of a sudden, millions, if not hundreds of millions, people, children, loved ones, appear unto their loved ones and tell them about Jesus. There is a place in Revelation where all of a sudden there are so many people got saved that John could not number them. Where are they from? Why couldn't we do nothing about it? Something happened. Something at a colossal scale that we could not even imagine. It's a great mystery concerning Christ and the church. Something will happen that will change almost every person's heart. There will be no black. There will be no gray. It'll be black and white. You will literally choose to go and defy God openly now, because you won't care after this midnight cry is made. And then the percentage also of what's going on here. And remember, the five virgins and the five foolish and the five wise, it's talking about the church here. It's what we call the church. I will get into that. Okay, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And Jesus also mentioned there will be two women grinding in a mill, one be taken, the other left. Two men were in bed, one will be taken, the other left. Two men in a field, one would be taken, the other left. See, here we see 50%, just like the five virgins and wise and the five foolish, there was a 50% everywhere. It looks like the church is almost split down the middle with these scriptures, because 50% of them 50% were taken, 50% were left. 50% were wise, 50% were foolish. In Matthew 25, verse 7 to 13, it says, then all the virgins arose, they trimmed their lamps. See here, they all knew the word of God, but the foolish lacked something. Because the word of God represents the word. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, just the Holy Spirit. The answer of the wise virgins isn't very wise to me, because but I don't quite understand the answer. Anyway, this is what they said, but the wise answered it saying, no, not so. lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that buy, sell, and buy for yourselves. I think it was just advice because of their foolishness. That's the only advice they would heed to, is foolish advice. And that's the advice they would heed to. Now, had they done it this way, Pastor Dave had this last week, part of his message. In Revelation 3, verse 18, it says, this is what they should have done. This is what we need to do. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire, that you may be rich with and white raiment, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. That is salvation. That is being born again. That's what this is talking about. Buy the gold that God, Jesus, has for us, the Holy Spirit. And then here's where Jesus comes back. Remember, he has not come yet. And while they went to buy, guess what happened? The bridegroom came, and they that were shut went in with them to the marriage, basically the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the door was shut. Once the midnight cry is made, it is too late, even at the midnight cry already. Because after that, decision, and I'm not saying it's going to be too late as far as hell or heaven is, you're going to the lake of fire. No, you're going to go into the tribulation, because out of the great tribulation, there's a difference. We shall, all those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution or tribulation, however you want to put it. But the great tribulation is God's wrath upon the ungodly. That's the last 7 days where God returns his attention back to the children of Israel, the last 7 years, where God, the church era is over, now it's back to Israel, and those who have desecrated his law. Matthew 15, 25, 1 to 3rd part of the same chapter there. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answered and said, truly I say unto you, I know you not. And then he warns us, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. So to take apart a little bit what the virgins represent, I went to the internet, and according to Bible scholars, a woman in the Bible represents a church, Revelation 12, while a virgin represents a pure church. So all 10 were pure, but the 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The lamp represents the word of God, Psalm 119. Oil represents the Holy Spirit, just like in Samuel, 1 Samuel 16 to 13, when Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So it's a representation of the Holy Spirit. The 5 foolish virgins, although they had lamps, the word of God, they did not have oil, the Holy Spirit, which you need to have to become born again, to last them till the end. They knew scriptures, but they were not truly born again. They did not really love the Lord, and that's why they were foolish. They did not heed to what the advice that Jesus gave to the church of Laodicea. The parable shows the oil supply is personal. One cannot give it to others. Your relationship with God cannot be transferred. Salvation cannot be borrowed. So with this, I conclude my message. And today, Brother Dave, Steve is going to have a message. Brother Dave, Pastor Dave needs a break. So thank you for listening. I hope it gets you into something where you can study and show that I'm not the one who convinced you that this is how it's going to happen, but you can search it out for yourself, and maybe God is going to reopen your mind to the mystery of what is actually going to happen.
The Word of God is awesome. And you know, Jesus loves his church. That's why he gave himself for us. Good message, Brother Dave. Not Brother James, sorry. You know, this morning, the Lord laid it upon my heart a couple of weeks ago. I will want to speak a little bit on the spirit of pornography. How far will it take you? It leads to captivity, it leads to homosexuality, it can lead you to immorality, fornication, illicit sex. And I will call my message, Sin Will Take You Farther Than You Want to Go. The devil is not playing a fair fight, but one thing I want to tell you something. When you go into pornography, that's his territory, not ours. Once you've been redeemed, you have no right, me or you. I was involved. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been set free from this. It will take you to steps you don't want to go, but there is no power behind. You have no power to stop it. It's that inner drag of the demons. Go more. It's only a little bit, just a little bit. Out of the corner of your eye, you see a picture. You go into YouTube or internet. And all of a sudden, you see a nice woman there, and all of a sudden, and the devil hooks you. It's like a fish hook. He drags it out, you catch it, and if you are not aware, and you are not in the spirit, if you do not love God, it will catch you. Even as a born-again Christian, here we used to deal with the devil. He will target, great men have fallen in history, preachers of the gospel, with the spirit of pornography. For some way or another, he will hit you, he will get you down because you're effective, and he will try to destroy you. That's his aim. His aim is not he loves you, he hates us. He wants to destroy our testimony, he wants to destroy what you really are, what you represent. What I do represent, what you represent, is represent Jesus and him only. And that's the testimony he wants to destroy. Once you are into this sin of pornography, you are no effective. So let's turn in Ephesians 4:27, when Paul the Apostle says, neither give place to the devil. What is he talking about? Don't open the door. Close those doors. Close the door that you open to yourself when you watch those things, when you go into pornography, any other sin, you open the door to the devil, and all of a sudden, it's his right, it's his territory. He has the legal right to that because you give him that right again. Jesus has set you free. That's why he says, neither give place to the devil. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearances of evil. If you see in your heart and you see and you walk down the streets or go anywhere, you see evil, don't let it. It will get into your mind, but don't let it get here from your mind into your heart. Kick it out in the name of Jesus, because the enemy is going around seeking whom he will devour. That's his cause. That's his total aim, is to devour you and me. Because he wants you totally and completely ineffective. And the minute he can get you there, you have no power against the enemy. We have no power against the enemy if you live in a life that is contrary to the word of God, because Jesus cannot use us. It will destroy you. Trust me. In James 1, let's stick to James, what James the Apostle had to say about this. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Because for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he with any man. God don't tempt you with evil. God never tempts any man. He sets you free. The devil is the one that puts that temptation out. He leads you to it. If you bite it, you got it. But the thing is, that's where you have to need the word of God. That's why it's so important to go into the word, like the Apostle Paul says. Study to show the self-approved of God. Go into the word of God and find out who you really are in Christ. Otherwise, you have no power. Don't have the antidote for it because you don't know. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. That's the problem. You let your guard down. You and me, we do that. We let our guard down. All of a sudden, the devil is there watching. He's got lots of patience sometimes with stuff like that because he knows us. He studies you and me. He knows when you're weak, and then he hits you like a ton of bricks. And if you're not aware, and if you do not go into the word of God and ask God to protect you every day, daily, walking in him, you will fall for it. Then when lust had conceived, it brings forth sin, And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That is the Old Testament version. I will go into the New Testament and I will show you the consequences of the spirit of pornography or illicit sex. It's horrifying. You don't want to go there. If you are in trouble this morning, if you are dealing with pornography of any sort, cut it off right now. It will destroy you, trust me. If God is there to help you, God will forgive you. Don't get me wrong. There is always forgiveness in Jesus. He loves you. But if you do not give in, if you search constantly, go into that spirit, into that death angel spirit, and feed yourself, it will surely destroy you, as sure as we're sitting here. The devil has no mercy for anybody. He didn't love Jesus. He tempted him, and with no respect. He tried to get people down. He has brought down great ministries that were high, that God used. He destroyed them. Only the ministry cannot destroy your salvation. That is in God's hand. But sin of pornography is horrifying in the eyes of God. Let's go. We'll go into Samuel with King David. Let's take, you know all the story about King David. The horrifying consequences of sin, a choice. And I know for a fact it just didn't happen overnight. That problem comes from digging in you. If he would have dealt with it, because how many wives? He had 500 wives. Come on, get serious. And you want some more? There's something wrong. Think. The Bible doesn't mention it, but think. Go and think. What in the Sam Hill is wrong? A man of God, God called him a man after his own heart that seek to please God. And still there was a problem of sin of pornography, of sin of sex. Why? Because that spirit was on him. He did not deal with it. Until one day, he saw a woman, a beautiful woman, and he had to go in bed with her. Stepping on God's word, mocking God in that word. He knew God. He knew God was against it, but still, that spirit overpowered the lust, enticing. And all of a sudden, that's how the devil works. Till he has you, and then he breaks your neck. That's his aim. And we know the lifestyle. You know the power. When God confronted King David, you have given the enemy an occasion to blaspheme my name. Therefore, your child will die. It is horrifying. When King David, all through these years, right after that sin, he was ineffective to discipline his children anymore. God used Absalom to go against him. Why? Because sin is being, he was forgiven, but the consequences of that sin cannot be undone sometimes. It's horrifying. Hear my words. It's horrible. When King David was fled from Absalom, his son, when he was in a different country, when the war was in the wilderness, and he told his generals, please spare my son, don't hurt him. But he told it to the wrong guy. Anyways, the battle was there. Absalom was killed. And what did David say? Oh, well, he deserved it. No. My son, Absalom, would God I had died instead of you. Why? Why did he say that? He knew where Absalom was going, and it was because of his own sin. Because he was reminded, I could have avoided that. I didn't discipline this guy. I didn't lead him to the Lord because I was ineffective. And all of a sudden, the hammer came down. That's the way the devil operates. And by the grace of God, David was forgiven. But still, when he cried out, would to God I would have died instead of you. This is a horrifying situation. You don't want to go there. Families, if you have families, please, by the grace of God, stop this spirit right now. It will not help you. It will destroy you totally and completely. We have no power. We have no chance against sin. It's more powerful than we can imagine. That's why we need Jesus. That's why Jesus went to the cruel cross to save you and me. God gave us the power to overcome this evil. That's why we can fight it. So we have the power within us to shut it down. The decision is up to you and to me. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Flee fornication. Flee. Why? Why do you say that? Because it will destroy you. We cannot handle it. And that's it. The only one that can handle it is Jesus. And that's why. He loves you. That's why he went to the cross for you. Because he loves us. So the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Thank you.
I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm going to get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm going to get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I don't know why I become a little shy when I get around a whole lot of people. And I can't figure out why I never can shout about the love floods my soul. Well, I must confess I can't express the feelings deep inside me. Things I know and cannot show one day will overflow. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I'll pass the clouds and shout so loud it may sound like thunder. My tearful eyes will fill the sky until it looks like rain. As I leave this world past the gates of pearl and stand before the Savior, I let my soul let the glory roll from the roll he calls my name. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna get carried away.